It's 9:06. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In a recent speech, President Barack Obama asked us to find our national character. 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair decided to try to answer the question implied in the statement, that is, what is our national character? Or perhaps, do we have one? This hour, we'll talk about the poll, the results, and what it all means. We have two guests, each one for about half an hour. My first guest is Michael Hogan, online editor of Vanity Fair. Michael Hogan, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
So President Obama asked us to find our national character. Well, how did we get from that phrase in a speech to this opinion poll?
We decided to take a look at the national character.
Okay, so based on the poll, did you come up with the answer to the question, what is our national character, do you think?
I think that would be a bit ambitious, but I think that we did get some interesting snapshots into what people are thinking at the moment.
Okay, well, tell me a little bit about the poll. For example, how did you decide what questions to ask?
This is a collaboration between 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair, and so the editors at Vanity Fair and the producers at 60 Minutes spent a couple weeks going back and forth thinking about what kind of questions would make sense, what's appropriate to ask, what's interesting, what's uninteresting. It was just a collaborative effort, really.
Okay, so then you went to the phones and called people. Talk about let's get some of the scientific technical things out of the way first. What kind of, this was a telephone poll. How many people did you call and assess the scientific validity of your poll?
It's a random sample of 1,097 respondents all across the country. Like I said, it's done exactly the same way as your front page poll about the president's approval rating and whatnot. It's done by the same unit that does a lot of those. It's a CBS News polling unit. They're incredibly experienced. They often work with New York Times on a poll that we all read about in the newspapers. So it was done the exact same way as that.
So what surprised you most about the results of the poll?
Well, I think, you know, the question that probably got the biggest response was this question about what company best represents America. The question was phrased in a way to say, you know, General Motors is no longer what it once was, that maybe at one point that really did represent America. What has taken its place? And we gave a couple options: Google, Microsoft, the NFL, Goldman Sachs, and Walmart. And by a huge, overwhelming majority, most people chose Walmart. And that was the question that really seemed to get the most pickup and the most get the biggest conversation going.
Yeah, that was interesting. And if you go to and look at the results of the poll on the VanityFair.com website, you can see the breakout there in terms of demographics. And it's pretty stark all across, men, women, various age groups. Walmart wins hands down. What does that say about Americans, about our national character?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, the funny thing is, we didn't ask people whether they were happy about that or not. You know, I think that if you look at something like Google and Microsoft, you know, my theory is that they may have split the vote. If you add them together, it's about 28%. So there's 28% who think that that's more representative of what we're all about. But I do think Silicon Valley is very, people associate it with California. I think that Goldman Sachs, people associate with Wall Street, which is associated with New York, or maybe even with some kind of multinational elite. You know, the investment banking is something that's done in Tokyo, it's done in London, it's done in Frankfurt and elsewhere. But box stores seem to be a truly American phenomenon. We're exporting them, but there's one in every, you know, if not every town, certainly every county. And it's something that feels very American. But as far as, you know, deeper than that, I'm not sure. I mean, do people think that this is a good thing? It's a sign of American enterprise. Do they think it's a bad thing? It's a sign of big corporations, kind of big footing mom and pops. That's an open question, and I think it's an interesting one.
One of the things that you asked in the poll I thought was kind of interesting concerned obesity. That seems to be a hot topic. California and New York City now require calorie counts to be printed on chain restaurant menus. And which of the following other things would you most like to see happen to reduce obesity? And I was interested to see that putting scales at restaurants got some votes. That was I thought that was kind of interesting.
A couple votes, yeah. That one hauled in 5%. A tax credit for liposuction hauled in 4%. The big winner on that was banning food stamps for high-fat food, which seemed like an interesting result to me.
Yeah, well, there were, how many questions were in this poll total?
10.
Okay. And from the looks of it on the CBS 60 Minutes website, this will be an ongoing kind of online affair. People can weigh in on what they thought about the questions in the poll as well.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to do this every month, and on CBSnews.com, the 60minutes.com, you can answer the questions. On VanityFair.com, you can see the complete results. We have a bigger breakdown than anywhere else. We would do the ages and the men and women and all that stuff. We're having fun with it. We made a little web video where we kind of explained some of the results, and so far the response has been really good.
Let's see what the response is from our audience. I'll give the phone number and email address and invite people to join the discussion this morning. We're having a discussion about our national character and a recent public opinion poll conducted by 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair that tried to explore some of that question. We're talking about the answers that they got. My guest is the online editor of Vanity Fair, Michael Hogan. You can join us at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, or you can send an email, talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. So the questions and the responses of this, is part of the value of a poll like this just to get the discussion started about the idea President Obama's statement assumes the idea that there is something of a national character for the United States. I would think that we would need some evidence to actually prove that there is such a thing. But if we accept that assumption, is part of the value of this poll that it gets that discussion started?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, any poll is sort of, there's always something when you look at the number of people, right? It's 1,097 people. And scientists will tell you, well, that's a good representation of the population. But obviously, there's 300 plus million people in America. You'd like to hear from them too, if you can, you know? So you start the conversation by saying, well, here is what a representative slice says, and what do you think? And we've certainly had a lot of responses. You know, a lot of people were angry at that Walmart result and said, hey, you know, Walmart doesn't represent me. Some people seem to think that we were, you know, promoting the view, and we're sort of indifferent at this point. We're just asking the question. But It's interesting to get the conversation going and to have people, you know, the audiences for Vanity Fair and 60 Minutes and the population at large, you know, start talking about this.
Let's take some phone calls. Rick in Prentice, you'll be first. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning to you and your guest. On the one hand, I'm kind of amazed at the kinds of things that the American chattering class is are up to. But specifically, if I were going to have a poll like this, I'd ask a much more pointed question, and it would go something like this. Do you as an American agree that an extremely small and unrepresentative sort of intellectualist class, primarily from Manhattan, and schooled at the business schools at Harvard and Yale, should be allowed to completely dominate our banking system, our credit system, and Wall Street? And the number two question is whether we need any criminal prosecutions for this massive amount of fraudulent lending and credit practices and this huge insider trading scandal on Wall Street that has led to this economic collapse we got now.
Mr. Hogan, you care to respond to any of that?
Well, that's not a bad question. I mean, I think you probably want to phrase it a little less in a little less of a leading way, but you know, that's something to think about, to ask a real question about Wall Street and its composition. I don't think you can say that, you know, that's an interesting question. Let's put it that way.
Okay, let's leave it at that. We need to take a break, and when we come back, we have more callers who want to join us, and we only have Michael Hogan with us until 9:30, so we'll try and get as many of those callers in as we can before we introduce our next guest. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Take Days Off campaign is really going very well. We've already gotten enough pledges to take one day off of our fall pledge drive, and we are within 280 pledges of taking off day two. So you could be one of those 280 pledges we need to take a second day off. Every 700 pledges we receive before the fall drive starts allows us to take a day off. Go to WPR.org and make your pledge today. Help us to get over that next little hump there. We're talking this morning in our first hour about the recent poll conducted by 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair attempting to answer the question, what is our American character? Joining me in this first half hour of the program to discuss the poll is Michael Hogan, online editor of Vanity Fair. Lots of callers who want to join us, Michael. Let's talk to Tim in Madison next. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Yeah, I had a comment on the poll question about what company best represents America, and I think my comment might have been implicit in your guest descriptions of the poll and of that question as well. I would have had Walmart too, for example, but do I want them to represent America? Do I think they should represent America? Walmart would be easily my last choice. So my comment is that I think that question is deeply flawed. In other words, there's a real problem in the sense that someone could pick one of those companies for very, very different reasons. Two people could pick Walmart for this as their answer to that question.
So is the question flawed, or is the answer maybe a little revelatory of where we really are as a country? Oh, we lost Michael Hogan. Let's see. Well, Tim, let's continue the discussion. We're going to get
sure.
Michael back in just a minute. My question to you then is, I mean, is it a flawed question, or does this really say something about us as a country that Walmart emerges as sort of the image? Good or bad, I mean, you know, it could be either way. It's good or bad that Walmart came out number one.
Well, again, I think the way the question is so problematic that you're not going to get a good response to that or an accurate response. Again, I would say they represent America, But I think some, because unfortunately, I for various reasons, most of them negative, I think they do represent America. But I can see someone else interpreting that question as, what company do you think best should represent America? And in that case, certainly, I wouldn't pick Walmart, although I would have picked them to best represent America. I certainly don't think they should, and I don't want them to. I'd probably pick Google or Microsoft or certainly any one of the others before Walmart. So again, I don't think you're going to get an accurate answer, because the question is misleading.
Well, and maybe the question isn't even answerable. Let me read the question as it appeared in the poll, at least as it's published on Vanity Fair's website. Here it is. The American banking and auto industries have just suffered through one of their worst years ever. Given that, which of the following best symbolizes America today? And here are the responses. It was kind of a multiple choice question. Your choices are Walmart, Google, Microsoft, the NFL, Goldman Sachs, and none of the above. So, you know, that was the question, and those were the choices given. Personally, not that it matters, I think I would have picked either Google or the NFL, but that might just be my own bias. Tim, thanks for the call. Michael Hogan is back. I don't know, did you hear Tim's question before we lost you?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Tim, are you still with us?
Yeah, the problem I had with that question about what company best represents America is I think it's so flawed in the sense that you're going to get people answering, giving the same answer for vastly different reasons. For example, I would say Walmart best represents America, but I've got huge problems with them. I don't like the company, and I think some people might choose Walmart because they do like the company. I think a much better way to phrase that would have been to preface it with, regardless of your feelings towards the company, positive or negative, something, you know, maybe not so wordy, which company do you think best represents America? Because I think some people will choose the company that they like the best, which I wouldn't. I don't like Walmart, but I do think they represent America.
Well, okay. But I think that, you know, the question is essentially asking that, and it's not asking you whether you like it or not. It really is asking, you know, analytically, which one to you symbolizes this country. And I agree. I mean, I'm curious to know whether people think this is a favorable thing or an unfavorable thing. And I think that's a kind of a fruitful path for future inquiry. But I do think that, you know, what you're saying is the question. I don't think it was asking what's your favorite company. It's saying which one stands for what we are.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate the call. Let's go next to Mark in Eau Claire.
Hi.
Hi, Mark.
That question that was asked is kind of irrelevant, because the real thing that this highlights, that this lets us see, is that surveys online, which I have been thinking about and talking about with people for a while, could be used to put the government's decision-making in line with what the people want, and then they can work out the particulars with the right types of professionals to help them do so. But so the question that's asked doesn't really matter. It's that this helps us see a very reasonable and reasonably easy to do, I think. Everyone would get an opportunity to vote. They might not vote just like now, but online we could set up kiosks and things like that. I've been tossing that idea around a lot with a friend of mine, but I don't hear people talking about it, but this is the closest I've ever heard. So I just wanted to put that out there and get your response to it. Hello?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Well, let's let our guest have a chance to respond to that. This wasn't an online survey. Ongoing, people can register their views on the questions, but the survey itself was not an online survey, was it?
No, we're trying to emphasize that this is not an online survey. We've done that before on VanityFair.com, and I'm sure 60 Minutes has probably done the same, but this is an old-fashioned telephone poll, just like you'd see for president's approval rating and all that stuff. It's not the same thing as an online survey.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Let's go to Joan in Williams Bay. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. I would answer none of the above for the character of the American culture. I would say John Wayne in the cowboy, which represents to other nations and peoples freedom, come and work hard and make your own lives and opportunity and work and reap the rewards. And I'd like to see him and the cowboy mentioned as symbolizing our country. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. So vote for John Wayne.
Right. Thank you. Or the cowboy.
Okay. The question that you were asking there wasn't really so much what symbol we should use to represent America, but talking about which of the following businesses represents America today. It was more of a business question than anything else.
Yeah, well, that call does remind me of a different question, which was interesting. We asked men who you would like to trade places with for a week, and the options were Barack Obama, Tom Brady, George Clooney, and Bruce Springsteen. And George Clooney actually surprisingly edged out Barack Obama there, especially among older voters who may find it quite exhausting to try and be the president, or maybe they are less idealistic, or I don't mean to say less idealistic, a little about the problems facing us. I don't know. That was an interesting response.
I thought it was fascinating on that question that the people 64 and over, the winner there, the clear winner in that question was don't know or none.
Yeah, I don't know if we just picked the wrong people for them, or if they just thought, you know what, I'm fine being myself at this stage of the game.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's interesting. The other one that I liked when I looked at it was the question about which of the following celebrities' likenesses do you think most likely to be used to endorse products 100 years from now?
Yes, and the big majority went to Einstein over. Michael Jackson, Miley Cyrus, Madonna, James Dean, etc. And it's funny because Einstein is apparently the biggest dead celebrity in the world already. He's used to endorse all kinds of products, and Steve Croft on 60 Minutes did a piece about this actually last weekend.
Okay. Well, I see it's 9:30. I know we need to let you go, and I appreciate your time this morning. Talk about this poll, and good luck on future ones. I'll be interested to see how this evolves as we go along.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Michael Hogan is online editor of Vanity Fair magazine. What we're talking about this morning is a 60 Minutes Vanity Fair poll seeking to answer the question, what is the national character? Barack Obama asked us to return to it or to find our national character. I didn't know it was lost, but we want to find our national character, says the president. And Vanity Fair in 60 Minutes decided to try to get some answers to that question, to find out what we think about the country and what we think about various parts of our culture and so forth. It was a regular telephone poll that was done over a period of weeks, and we got some interesting answers to their questions, and we talked about some of them with Michael Hogan. My next guest will be maybe giving us a little bit different take on that, and he is Paul Brewer, professor of journalism and mass communication at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Professor Brewer, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on here.
Well, I don't know if you got to hear the first half hour of the program or not with Michael Hogan. I know you are familiar with this poll. What's your take on this type of opinion polling?
Well, I mean, I was looking at the Vanity Fair website and also the 60 Minutes website. I noticed they say, we hope you find the poll topical, fun, amusing, illuminating, and most importantly, interesting. And I think that's very revealing. People do polls for lots of reasons. Some people do them for strategic reasons, like marketing, political campaign planning. Some people do them for predictive reasons, like forecasting election results. Some people try to explain public opinion, which is what I do in my own research. But this is more about entertaining people, I think. So, you know, it might be illuminating to some extent. Certainly I found some of the results revealing. But I think primarily this poll is to be fun and amusing and interesting, as the website says.
Well, which questions and answers did you find particularly revealing?
I think I found one interesting that your previous guest, and I did listen to that discussion, found revealing, was the question about food stamps. So if you'll recall, the question was asking about which option would be best for reducing obesity, and the winner was a ban on food stamps for high-fat food. Now, I find that revealing, and I think it says something not just about what Americans think about obesity, but perhaps what they think about people in poverty, people who are receiving public assistance, because I'm not an expert here, but I'm pretty sure that even if poverty is correlated with obesity, that certainly not all Americans who are obese are on food stamps.
Yeah, I thought that was particularly, that was pretty interesting, too. My favorite there response, or my favorite of the possible responses for that was putting scales at fast food restaurants. The most amusing one was the tax credit for liposuction.
Which actually a few people went for. Well, I guess actually,
yeah.
I think that might actually be tax. Well, I don't know. Cosmetic surgery might be not be in the medical expense tax deduction.
Yeah,
I've never looked into that.
I don't know that you can take a deduction for your liposuction. I'm sure plastic surgeons would really appreciate that. There was one question that was just for women. It was, which of these women would you most like to trade places with for a week? This is the corollary to the men's question, which of these men would you like to trade places with for a week? And the possible responses were Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, Angelina Jolie, or Beyonce. And it was interesting, I think, that the top vote getter in almost every instance was don't know or none. Particularly, again, people 64 and older, 58% basically didn't care. But Michelle Obama beat out Hillary Clinton. More women would rather be her for a week than to be Hillary Clinton. So is it better to be the current first lady or the former first lady, I guess?
Yeah, well, and I wonder if I bet most Americans don't necessarily think of Hillary Clinton primarily as the former first lady now, because she's had such a, you know, she's been doing so many other things. But I think generally, and you see this with Laura Bush as well as Michelle Obama, first ladies are generally pretty popular so long as they fit a certain mold of what maybe some members of the public expect out of people occupying the position. So that's not terribly surprising to me.
Well, it's. I need to give the phone number again because I'm sure people will want to join in on the rest of this discussion. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send us an email, the address is talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. We're talking about the Vanity Fair 60 Minutes poll that was prompted by President Obama's call for us to find our national character. I mentioned this in passing to Michael Hogan. I'll throw this out to you. Maybe we can discuss this for a minute. The president's request that we find our national character assumes that we have one. Do you think that as diverse as our population is today, perhaps much more so than at any time in the history of the United States, do you think that that we could actually have something that we could call a national character?
I think that's a really interesting question, and with all due respect to Vanity Fair, I'm not sure the questions about who you'd most like to change places with would get at what I really think is the essential of that question. I'm more interested in terms of national character, what are the kind of the common principles or common values, if there are any, that Americans as a people agree on? And historically, you think some things like patriotism, love of country, individualism, personal responsibility, equality of opportunity, if not necessarily equality of outcome, those in public opinion polls get really high levels of endorsement. So historically, those have been values or principles that most Americans say that they believe in. Now, what those mean in practice, of course, is often complicated.
Well, I mean, that's a question all of itself, because a lot of those words that you just used, for example, the word freedom, well, that's an incredibly value-laden and evocative word. I question whether you could find 10 people in a row who would agree on what it means.
Yes, so they're easy to agree in abstract words like equality, liberty. You know, George Orwell, years back, wrote a famous essay where he said these political words, they can sometimes get stretched so much that they don't necessarily mean anything anymore. Of course, he illustrated that famously in Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. So, yeah, these big abstract principles Americans can agree on, it's what they mean in terms of implementing them, what they mean in terms of the decisions that we make as a country, where it's hard to sum up a national character, I think.
Let's take some phone calls. The phone lines have filled up, as they often do when I give the phone number, which is why my producers tell me to give it more often. Let's take a call from Lee in Burnham Wood.
Hello.
Good morning,
Good
Lee.
Morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. My comment is on the character of America, and I believe that maybe what we should do is quit trying to be a world police force and a world bully and take care of America and the American people first. We tend to have overextended ourselves way out to the point where we're sacrificing our own nation and our own beliefs. And I think that's what he meant. And thank you. That's my comment.
Thanks, Lee. Professor?
Well, that we were talking about principles and values of the American people, and I think the caller's comment touches on one that's been the subject of a lot of debate over history, and that is the extent to which Americans should be involved or intervene in world affairs, or whether they should, you know, I don't want to call the caller isolationist, but there has been this isolationist strain in American political character as well. And over the years, they've battled each other. Before World War II, the isolationist point of view was stronger. Ever since World War II, United States has been more interventionist, and of course, there are different kinds of intervention as well. But I think that is one of the key values that is at the center of a lot of conflict in American politics.
What do you make of all the I don't want to make it sound like it's millions of people, but you see people on television in crowds. We saw them in the video of the town meetings that were held on health care. A lot of the shouting. One of the slogans that's featured heavily is "I want my country back." And the reason I bring that up is that we're having a discussion of the question in general, at least, what is the national character? What do you make of phrases like that? I want my country back. Who took it? Where did it go? Where are they keeping it? And what is it?
Well, I think that kind of appeal is actually pretty common, and that's an interesting one. I think the implicit message there is that, you know, most Americans believe what I believe. And if you think back historically, you know, Richard Nixon had his silent majority, and people in public debate, they make these claims about what I believe, what I stand for, is what America really believes and what it stands for. I think one of the potentially useful things about public opinion polls is they can put claims like that to the test and see what the public actually says it believes when you ask it.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a whole bunch of people who want to join us on the phone, and we'll get to those calls in just a moment. Before we go to the break, I just want to thank everybody who's helped us take a day off of our fall pledge drive. For every 700 donations, we're taking one day off, so help make it two by making your contribution today. Join the 1,130 contributors who have already helped. Go to WPR.org to donate now and take days off. We are only 270 pledges away from taking a second day off of our fall pledge drive. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9:42. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. Well, here's what's up next hour. First, it was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Now it's Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters. We're going to talk about the latest mashup of a Jane Austen novel in the 10 o'clock hour. That's coming up in about 20 minutes from now here on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today. Kathleen is on that big bus trip that they're taking down to in Illinois to the Lincoln Museum. And I'm sure they're having a lot of fun. Well, we're having some fun here, too. We're talking about a Vanity Fair 60 Minutes poll that was taken in response to President Obama's call for us all to find our national character. And some of the results of the poll have already been discussed. You can find the poll on online, you can go to the VanityFair.com website. If you just Google what is America's character or what is the national character, you'll come up with the 60 Minutes page pretty quickly as well. So you can see that, and you can also weigh in on what you think online. My guest in this half of the program, joining us is Paul Brewer, professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Milwaukee. He's with us by phone, and so is Chris in Wabino. Let's take his call next. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the air. You still there?
You're welcome. Yep, go ahead.
I think that the American people do feel like our national character is like Walmart. I'm not a big Walmart fan, but America's been, in my opinion, racing towards the bottom for years, and it's corporate greed and how fast and how much money can I make and screw your employees. And I think if they would have reworded it about how do you think the America's national character should be, I think Google would have won. Where I guess I feel Google is good to their employees and she's hope for America. People are missing the point here. So how do you feel? What's the character of America? Not what you'd like to see the character of America. I mean, I think there's a big difference there.
Mm-hmm. The answer to the question may be no. In other words, this could just not necessarily a positive thing. It's just it is what it is, Professor.
Yeah, well, one of the things I wanted to emphasize, I'm glad the caller brought this up, is that we should sometimes be careful in interpreting survey results. So I mean, the results tell you what people said, but they don't necessarily tell you what they meant. An earlier caller was talking about how different people could answer that question on the basis of what they thought was or what they thought should be. Another thing I wanted to bring up is that surveys are limited in terms of the wording of the question and also the wording of the options. So, you know, this question gave people only 5 choices, I think. You know, there wasn't, say, McDonald's on there, which I suspect a lot of people might have picked if it was on there as well. So the results can be interesting, but interpreting what they mean about what the public thinks, we should always be careful.
Tony in Waco, Iowa is next. Tony, good morning.
Yeah, hello. I'd like to make a short comment on the fact that I think it's interesting they took off General Motors as a possible winner for what people think best represents America. They could have put that and the question about the character of the country. I think that pretty much sums up America in a nutshell.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Professor?
Yeah, well, If you look at that question really closely, you notice that the opening statement sort of rules out both the auto industry and the banking industry, which is interesting that Goldman Sachs is one of the options because the beginning of the question would seem to discourage people from choosing that.
Let me read the question again before you go on so we are all on the same page of the hymnal here. The question, as worded, said, the American banking and auto industries have just suffered through one of their worst years ever. Given that, which of the following best symbolizes America today? And again, the choices were Walmart, Google, Microsoft, the NFL, Goldman Sachs, and none of the above.
Yeah, so what I'm suggesting is that beginning statement would discourage people from saying Goldman Sachs, perhaps. And if you even included GM or Ford in there, that the wording of the question would discourage people from choosing those options. A different way to do the question, of course, would be to not give people a list and see what they came up with left to their own devices.
Our next caller will be Ryan in West Bend.
Hi, this is Ryan.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, I can.
Okay, I just wanted to comment on the character of America. I was thinking that it would be like a older brother who has good intentions to protect his multicultural little brother, but in reality he's just stunting his progress in life.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, Big Brother is just stunting the American people by through taxes and just all the regulations and all the restrictions. And there's, like, there's freedom, but it's not real to compared to real freedom, you know?
What would real freedom look like to you, Ryan?
Like the old tribes of Native Americans, you know? Like villages and stuff. Not money. No money. That's the biggest problem, is money. I don't even understand how that works. It's like a joke to me.
Okay, thank you. Professor, a comment on this, an interesting point of view.
Yeah, well, you know, I think this, the caller's comments maybe take this idea further than most Americans go with it, that there is one strain in, historically in American political culture has been an anti-government theme. You know, if you look back to the founding of the country, it's based on a revolution against governmental authority. And there's, and it comes especially in bad economic times. You look at now, you look at the early 90s, and there's this pretty powerful strain of, you know, being against the government. And I don't think, you know, as that many Americans would go as far as the caller, but I think he is touching on something that's part of American character, even though it can rise and fall in tandem with what's going on in politics.
Yeah, I think Marshall McLuhan would get Ryan completely, because McLuhan was the one who says that we live in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's go to Carl in Peshtigo.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question in regards to these polls is the economic class. How does it differentiate in the turnout of these polls? And a lot of your other callers had made statements in regards how the upper class is getting away with fleecing of America in regards to William Proxmire, and that we're paying for the shenanigans for what they're all about, for their greed. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Professor, what about it? Is there some validity in trying to do polling that's based on economic class?
Yes, and actually, even the Vanity Fair results for one question I'm looking at, I have on my screen right now, it says the Obama administration proposed a tax of 50% or higher on the incomes of the wealthiest millionaires. Would you support it? And they have the results for the whole public, but then they have it broken down by income. And you probably wouldn't be shocked to find out that the people making under $15,000 a year are the most enthusiastic about that, and the people making over $100,000 a year are the least enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, but even among people making over $100,000 a year, 32% said it was okay. And the truth is that if that tax did go in, what that would take us to probably what taxes were like under President Reagan.
Yeah, although I'm kind of wondering what exactly the question means, because it's a tax on the incomes of the wealthiest millionaires. So is that all the millionaires or just the wealthiest millionaires?
Boy, I don't know. That's a good one. 800-486. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that gets back to the point I was trying to make about question wording. I think that phrase, wealthiest millionaires, you know, it's gonna elicit a certain reaction, just the choice of words there, to make people say, oh, yeah, we should tax the wealthiest millionaires.
What's the journalistic value of a poll like this?
Well, I think they're pretty honest about this mostly being about, you could call it infotainment, about, you know, being fun, being amusing. I don't want to pick on Vanity Fair too much. They have done major reporting. They broke the identity of Deep Throat. But I'm looking at their website, and their cover is a picture of Penelope Cruz in a very tight dress. So, yeah, I think this poll should probably be taken with that in mind.
Well, I mean, it's Vanity Fair. It's not the New York Times, and
right.
CBS News does a poll in conjunction with the New York Times, which I would think would be a little different than one that they would do with Vanity Fair. And it is 60 Minutes, which is a journalistic program, but is also seen as very entertaining. I mean, for years it was the number one program in its time slot on Sunday night. It was a ratings juggernaut, and it brought a lot of people into some investigative journalism that they probably wouldn't have looked at otherwise.
Yeah, 60 Minutes has that side. It also has a very human interest side, which I think that this poll plugs into.
Let's take a call next from Linus in Gaysville.
Hello?
Hi, good morning. Go ahead.
I was just really interested in the fact that with that question about the best way to fight obesity was to cut off fatty foods from food stamps. And I just wanted to make a comment that in my country here in America, that whenever somebody, when we get indignant about something, instead of changing our own lives, we try to legislate the lives of other people. You know, maybe we buy a Prius once in a while, but other than that, we just try to make rules for other people and instead of changing our own lives. And that's just what I wanted to say. So thank you.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting response. The response about the food stamps in the poll itself was pretty interesting to me. And I think we talked about this earlier. Talk a little bit about what Linus was talking about. We don't want to change ourselves. We want to legislate others.
Well, I think he's got a really interesting point there. I mean, if you look back, you might remember in the 90s there was all this debate about welfare reform. And eventually a welfare reform bill was passed. Congress passed it. President Clinton signed it. And that was one of the things I was studying back in the 90s, and provisions that basically told people on welfare how to live their lives were very popular. Things like limits on the number of children that people could have when they were on welfare, making people on welfare work, that sort of thing. So I wasn't surprised that the ban on food stamps for high-fat food was popular, because there's a history of the American public favoring what you could call punitive or rulemaking approaches to dealing with people that the government has power over, people on welfare, for example.
Mm-hmm. Jeff in Superior, you'll be next. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, cool. Yeah, good day to both of you. This is an interesting discussion. I'll keep my comments brief, but I want to kind of make you laugh with this thought. I mean, if I was a Catholic priest doing the sign of the cross, I'd say in the United States we have the upper class, the lower class, and then you have the left and the right. You know what I mean? So when it comes to the character of our country, we're pretty diverse. And I guess my initial thought with a comment from Obama is that, you know, we need to do a gut check on our character as a country. You know, Ted Kennedy said that. I think he got that from the Kennedy people. But I just think we're a very young country. We're only 200-some years old, and we're very diverse, and it's hard for each of us to embrace the diversity of our country when we're so diverse, whereas other countries, you know, in the world, they're kind of homogenous, I guess would be the better word. But I encourage every American, just as I encourage myself, to think broader and more widely in terms of caring for my fellow man. But I just think that the right is distracting him, and I think that he needs to do a gut check. I mean, Obama, because I'm a liberal. He's not liberal enough for me, and I think he's trying to placate the right by the process. And I think the Democrats were elected to get national health care done. And like Bill Clinton said in the Esquire interview this month, you know, the Democrats need to get it done and they'll get reelected. They want results. The American people want results.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Professor?
Well, one of the things that he brought up was that the American public's diverse. And the very first thing he talked about was the American public being divided. And he brought up the left and the right. And this made me think, and I think this is really relevant to things like the debate over health care, is one thing that's getting a lot of attention these days among public opinion scholars is the degree to which the American public is polarized, especially in terms of left and right, liberal and conservative, and whether the public is getting more polarized. That is, are the conservatives and the liberals, the right and the left, getting further apart? And if that's the case, then will that make it harder for the country as a whole to decide on what we as a country are going to do, what policies we're going to enact?
Well, then it makes it even more problematic to try to answer the question, what is the national character if, you know, you can't get anybody to agree on anything?
Yes, it does.
What would be the first question? We've only got about 30 seconds, so I realize that's not a lot of time, but what would be the first question you would ask if you were constructing a poll designed to try to find out what the national character was?
I think what I would start off with is just a question that basically echoes your question, but it doesn't give people, you know, boxes to doesn't give people response options that are prefabricated. So just an open-ended question, as we call them. Ask people, what do you think the American character is? Now, the responses would be a lot harder to sift through than, you know, Walmart versus Google, but I think that might be a useful starting point just to see how Americans talk about the national character in their own words.
Thank you very much for spending this half hour with us, Professor. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for having me on here. It was fun.
Paul Brewer is a professor of journalism and mass communication at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We also had Michael Hogan, executive online editor of Vanity Fair. Rhonda Fanning produced this program. John Treader handled on-air production. And if you'd like to listen to it again, you can go to our website, WPR.org. It's all there. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. Stay tuned. More to come after the news coming up next. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.